Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business, all from home, from my two-car garage. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Hi, it's Michael Sunoff with Michael Sunoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. You're going to love this recording. Title is called, How to Use a Bump in Your Mail as a Client-Generating Machine to Say Goodbye to Cold Calling Forever. E became an HMA consultant only 6 months ago, but he's already generated more than $50,000 in client project fees. And he didn't do it cold calling. He did it by creating a bumpy mail campaign that targets qualified prospects in his area. If you've ever heard of bumpy mail before, it's when you add something fun to your letters, like a small doll or a packet of aspirin that ties into your sales message and makes your envelope bumpy and almost impossible to stack flat letters on top of. This puts E's bumpy letters at the top of his prospects' mail stacks and almost always gets open. His mailings cost him about $100 for every $10,000 he makes in client work. And in this audio, you'll hear how he's doing it and all about the 7-week series of bumpy letters he wrote specifically for my HMA marketing consultants. You'll also hear a free and easy way to create targeted local list of direct mail prospects and how to use your research along with a bright red pen in your first mailing. You'll hear a step-by-step look at creating your bumpy mail campaign. It's easier than you probably think. You'll hear the minor tweaks E made to his HMA guarantee that gets his clients to sign on for all 4 of the core steps right away. You'll have an exclusive look at E's first clients, what kind of businesses they were, and exactly what he did to help them. You'll hear all about the prospects from hell that E decided not to work with, but why you might have a different take on this situation. You'll hear 4 things E takes to an opportunity analysis and nothing else. You'll hear the weird reason why your credibility actually goes up the more times you mail to the same prospect. You'll hear the many marketing opportunities you can sell to clients beyond the core 4 from HMA. You'll hear 1 trick to incorporate into your bumpy mailings that E says could bring your response rate up even higher than what he's getting. You'll hear why E never sends letters addressed to Dear Owner in the one website that'll find most owners' first and last name and company information for you. You'll hear 2 contingency deals E is in the process of setting up, the amazing cut he's getting, and how he'll plan to stay in control of them. You'll hear the limousine marketing product E also sells and how he used audio interviews to take his cost per lead from $50 to $6. E says the goal of a good bumpy mail campaign is to sell prospects on the free opportunity analysis. You can't expect to sell a consulting package through direct mail, but you can expect to get noticed and get responded to. And in this audio interview, you'll hear how it all works. Now let's get going.
Ed, it's good to talk to you, and I'm excited about what you've been doing with your HMA consulting practice. And for the existing consultants and prospective consultants who are considering taking the HMA 21-day trial challenge, why don't you tell the consultants when you decided to give HMA a try, how long ago was it, and just a little bit about your background without giving too much away.
Okay. Well, first let me preface it with, I think I listened to every single piece of audio on your site prior to jumping on board with HMA.
How long have you known about my site? Do you remember?
Well over a year. And I can pump through audio really fast, and I really am an auditory learner. And I just fell in love with the content you were producing. And at the time, I was working on another project, and I was kind of dabbling in whether or not to get into the HMA world. And I finally pulled the plug probably about 6 months ago. and have been doing it for about 6 months now. I love it. If you're on the fence, I think it's a no-brainer. So jump on board and take the risk if you're at all serious about this.
Now, when you thought about doing your HMA consulting business, everyone has different modes of getting into the practice, and I believe you had mentioned that you wanted to try to do something where you didn't have to actually physically meet clients. Was there a specific reason why that was, and what advantages maybe you saw in doing it in a different way?
Well, I came from a limousine business where we were very high touch, very, very client oriented, and we were dealing with very high end corporate America and celebrity world, and it was very high touch, and it was very high maintenance type of clientele. And in the next business I went into, I wanted something that I could really leverage my time. And I saw direct mail and different forms of marketing as a really good way to leverage my time and my expertise in order to generate clients, as opposed to doing networking groups or cold calling or any of the other variations of client getting techniques you talk about, or any of your HMA members have talked about previous interviews. So I just wanted something where I had a really high form of leverage. That's really what I was after.
I see. Had you had some success using direct mail with any other business?
Yeah, I've been using direct mail for a while. In the limousine business, I've gotten friends to use direct mail, all sorts of different businesses. I find direct mail to work the best in B2B situations where you have a significant client lifetime value and you can spend a little bit more to acquire a customer. That's kind of the area I like to focus in on.
January 29th. Of this year, you had emailed me and you said, right now I have three clients paying me $2,500 a month for the core four, and I'm working on two other one-time projects as well, one for $2,500 and the other for $7,500. The largest one-time project I've gotten so far is the $7,500, and it's for creating lead generation material for a small law firm, three sets of free CD and report, one for each of their three main practice areas, divorce, bankruptcy, and immigration. Looking back on this deal, I think I should have charged significantly higher based on what they charge for in any of those practice areas, but hey, a good win regardless. That is an incredible win, especially just starting out. So these three clients, the ones paying $2,500 a month, this was back in the end of January. Are they still with you?
One is, and then the rest are completed.
How did you acquire these three clients and this $7,500 client?
Everything I have so far is actually all through direct mail or from a referral from existing clientele. I get nervous when I do cold calling. I did it for years in corporate America, and I got red and flustered and embarrassed, and I pumped myself up. I try to listen to some Zig Ziglar or Brian Tracy or something and get ready to go for a cold call, and I would bomb, and I would be terrible at it. And I knew that there had to be a better way to do this and a better way to leverage my time and what I was offering the world. And I found that through direct mail, and I found that through sequence direct mail. So I put together a series of letters that I used to offer a free consultation or an opportunity analysis, and that's how I entered the market.
How many sequence of letters did it take to generate the calls to do the opportunity analysis? Was the letter specifically to sell an opportunity analysis, or did you have two different letters trying to sell two different things?
The first set I did was to sell specifically the opportunity analysis. You've got to sell in steps. You've got to sell specifically what you're looking to achieve. You can't try to sell them a consulting package through direct mail. It doesn't work like that. You either sell them an opportunity analysis or you sell them a free CD and report or whatever else you would offer them on the front end to generate that lead. So once you have that lead, you could then market that lead a lot more, and you could spend more to acquire that lead as opposed to just trying to sell everyone straight into a consulting package from direct mail. So the way I did it was I actually went through and found everyone in my local area that was advertising through direct mail in the Yellow Pages, Google AdWords, any regional or local magazines or newspapers, Valpak, Money Mailer, anything like that, where they were spending money to acquire clients. So I knew that they had to spend money to acquire clients. It was a cold list, but it was people that were spending money in the market to market. So I would actually collect all these ads, and I'd rip them out, and I would actually put a big red circle around them, and I'd actually fold that up, and I'd put that inside the first letter I sent out, which had the packet of aspirin stapled to the front of it. And that's how I started out the sequence. And then from there, they got another letter every week for the next 7 weeks.
Were you sending them out in a number 10 envelope?
Yep, white number 10 envelopes with a live stamp, depending on what lumpy item was actually in the envelope itself, either one to two stamps. So it doesn't cost a tremendous amount. And think at the end of the day, how much we're getting from these clients, really to send $1 or $2 pieces of mail out is a no-brainer.
What's the advantage of it for a consultant who's mailing lumpy compared to flat mail?
Okay, so the lumpy mail, dimensional mail, whatever you want to call it, all it is a little fun item that you add inside the envelope. And that item's got to actually tie into the messaging inside your letter. So the first letter I send out, which is in the top right, there's actually a small packet of aspirin tape or staple to it. And basically, the gist of the letter is running a small business and marketing your small business could give you a headache. And all the copy ties into that. And at the end, you make an offer, which is the free consultation. The second letter is puzzle pieces. And it basically says, you know, I'm pretty puzzled that you haven't responded to me. I made a great offer here last week. I introduced myself. I offered the free consultation, which is worth X amount of dollars. And I still haven't heard from you. I'm pretty puzzled. And the third letter is a worry doll, these little Guatemalan worry dolls. And the gist of that is, like, listen, I sent you three letters. Quite frankly, I'm worried that I haven't heard from you yet. I want to make sure everything's okay. So, you know, last chance for the consultation. Actually, I don't say last chance. But then going to the fourth letter and then through seventh, I have different items that are attached to each of those. And they're fun. They definitely make me stand out in the market because no one else is really sending stuff like this. And it serves a couple purposes. Number one, it gets my mail opened because that lumpy mail doesn't sit flat. And if for nothing else but curiosity, that mail is going to get opened by that business owner because they want to know what the heck is in there that's making it stick out like that. So another thing is that mail often gets moved to the top of the stack because something that's lumpy or has a lump sticking out of it, you can't stack other mail on top of it when you bring it into your office or into your home. All that other mail will fall off. So you put that on top and normally it gets opened. And when a person opens it up and sees a doll staple to it, these, you know, tiny 1-inch doll or a packet of aspirin or a little toy lobster or any number of other things that I've mailed, it invokes curiosity. They tend to read the letter and it's fun. It makes me stand out in the market where everyone else is sending bland brochures or postcards that are just getting tossed, any number of things. I just feel it helps me to stand out in the market a bit more.
What was your acquisition cost for these first several clients that you reported to me at the end of January?
The first one, I mailed out 100 of these letters, and I got a $2,500 client right out of the gate. So $100 to make a $10,000.
What was the first client? What kind of business?
They were a spa. Yeah, they worked in Botox and injectables and all sorts of stuff like that.
Who called you? The owner?
So the front desk person was really the manager there. Asked and set up a meeting for the owners and myself, and I went in and met with the owners 2 days later.
And you took them through the standard opportunity analysis that's outlined in the HMA system?
Yep. I don't go in suits. I dress in khakis and a polo, and I go in with a small leather binder, and I literally print out the opportunity analysis, and that's it. That's how I go in with a pen, that's it. And my phone, which has a calculator, which helps with the opportunity analysis. But other than that, that's all I bring and show up for the meeting.
And did you close on the first meeting?
I did a soft close on the first, and then I came back the next day with the proposal and picked up a check. It was for 4 steps over 4 months, $2,500 a step, and I made it so it was month to month or step to step, but in order for the guarantee to live, I had to complete all 4 steps.
So you got a check for $2,500 when you came back?
Yes, that's correct.
Is this one still with you?
No, they're finished. They're complete.
You took them through all 4 steps?
Yep.
How's it going? Have they reported some results back?
Yeah, they're very happy. They've been growing at the first location. They opened up the second location, which they were in the process of when I jumped on board. I helped them with some launch press releases, with some ad copy in the new market they were entering into, and they're successful. They've got a nice little business. It's very high margin, and they aim for the top end of the market. So it's a nice little interesting business that they have.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
So 100 letters, your letter cost is probably a buck a piece, maybe $1.50 at the most?
A little bit less. So the aspirin is under a dollar.
All right. So 100 bucks got you 10,000 in client work. That's just with client number one. What was the second client? What kind of client was that? And take us through the process of how that occurred.
That was a small contractor. I met him out of his house.
Did that come from the first 100 letters?
No, that came from the second round.
How many letters did you mail in the second round?
I mailed to the exact same list.
Okay. Contractor called you. What did he say when he called you? Do they usually say, hey, I got some aspirin or I got a, you know, did they mention the little grabber that's in there?
Everyone does. I just met with a CPA yesterday who I got on dinosaur mailing, which is further back in the steps. And when I went in, the secretary met me kind of with a big grin on her face, and she had everything I had mailed to them lined up on her desk as I walked in.
Oh, that's cute. What was the lumpy mail in the second mailer?
Puzzle pieces.
The puzzle piece. So the contractor called you and said, hey, I got your puzzle piece, and what did he say?
Like a lot of contractors, he's struggling and wanted to have a conversation. A lot of people call and they just want to know what the next step is or what to do next or, you know, what exactly to do, you know, what's the next step in the process.
All right, so you went in, you did the opportunity analysis, and what result? From that one.
He did the core four again, and that was $2,500 a month, and walked away with a check for $2,500.
Have you taken him through all 4 steps?
Yep.
Okay, another 10 grand. So another 100 bucks equals another 10 grand. What's your margin on that 10 grand? Do you keep all that?
I've got a couple guys that work for me doing graphics and web stuff in the Philippines, and that's very, very minimal. They work on some of my other projects as well, so I mean, I have three guys for under $1,000 a month.
What would you tell the prospective consultants about the margins in this type of business compared to, say, a retail store, a grocery store, another brick-and-mortar type business?
It's funny you say that, because every time I go into an opportunity analysis or a pre-consultation, whatever you want to call it, I'm always like, oh, man, this is such an opportunity. It'd be nice to do this. And I have to, like, pull back and smack myself in the head and say, I work on 90 to 100% profit margin, but these guys work on 5% to 30% profit margin. And I have to pull back and say, you know, stop that and keep doing what you're doing, because with a fraction of the work, you're earning two or three or four times as much as they are.
I know. Another business on 5% has got to do 20 times the sales to keep the same amount. 20 times the headaches, 20 times the vendors, 20 times everything to keep the same thing you're getting.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one thing that led me to want to get out of the service industry. I don't mean service industry. This is essentially a service industry as well, but the service industry where you have a lot of touch points and a lot of end users. I wanted something with a high dollar value, high margin, and fewer touch points from end users.
All right, tell me about client number three. What kind of business was that?
That's a lawn care company. That was a bit different. That's a startup friend of mine who I got through direct mail. I actually had his partner in the business, not knowing that he was starting a lawn care business. And I basically had to recreate the wheel for them. And that was a bit of a different situation. Normally, I would suggest you really want to go after businesses that have existing databases. And from this, it was a bit of a pain in the butt having to recreate everything and test, and made it a lot more work than I think it was worth at the end of the day.
Yeah, what did you charge them?
$2,500 a month.
All right, and how many months did you go with them?
I did the 4 months, and then I was glad to be out of that.
Yeah, a lot more work when they're a startup.
Yeah, I would strongly urge to stay away from the startup world and stick with established businesses that have been in business, I'd say at least 2 years, but more like 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, they've beaten general odds of failing within the first year, and they have a database. That's really where the money's at, in the database. Being able to market to that database, ask for referrals, upsell, that's where you're going to get a lot of your bang for your buck.
Did that client come from the lawn care owner's partner? Was that from that same first 100 mailing?
No, that was actually the worry doll. I continually mail to the exact same list over and over and over until that list dries up, until I don't have a response from that list.
The worry doll was how many down on the list?
That's three. 3 weeks since. Every week they're getting a piece of mail from me with some odd item in it that is making me stand out in the market. I don't know. There's this weird thing that if they didn't believe you the first letter, it's strange, but for some reason, if you continue to mail to them over and over, your credibility increases.
It's because you're committed to the campaign. It's a commitment.
Right.
What day do you do your mailings on?
I like to drop them at the post office Saturday or Monday. They get there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
All right, and you're doing them every week, every 7 days?
Yep, every 7 days. Right. You could do 2 weeks, but I like to do rapid fire and get through the list.
Tell me about the $7,500 client. Who was that? How did that occur? Details.
It was either the lobster letter or the dinosaur letter. But that was a law firm, so that's pretty deep in the funnel. And it's a really interesting guy. His wife ran the law practice. The guy managing it, the guy I met with, who essentially an owner in the business as well, but he really managed her practice. And this guy, by the looks of him, I wouldn't have thought he was much. He had a long ponytail, he had like a ragged t-shirt on. It was a strange first meeting. But once I got to the meeting, we started talking, and I started asking questions and digging into his background. You got to believe that looks aren't everything, because this guy blew me away. He'd taken a company public in the 80s, had sold a number of other businesses, and was doing this part-time to help out his wife, to help grow her business. And turned out to be one of the coolest guys I've met in this process. And I'm sure glad I got back the initial look and continued on. And what I did was create lead gen material for them. They're in a really dense, crowded market in my county. Well, as in most counties, law firms are pretty competitive. And they wanted a way to stand out. And what we did was we recorded some CDs and some reports for them. What we did was we transcribed the audio, cleaned up that, and then basically made the transcriptions and the reports. And we created CDs and reports based around each of the practice areas to help with lead generation. So they could use it on their website. They use it with postcards in the front of their office when people walk in.
Okay, so you created marketing collateral using audio and transcripts to help educate and sell their services.
That's correct.
And that was a one-time hit for $7,500?
That's correct.
He didn't want any integrate any of the HMA steps?
To be honest, he really didn't need it.
Okay, so these are what you reported back to me January 29th. What has occurred since then? Any new additional clients from your direct mail campaign?
Sure. I picked up a chiropractor at $2,500 a month for 4 steps, and I've got 2 prospects that I'm really excited about, and a roofer who I am doing a contingency deal with, which I'm really excited about.
Okay, so chiropractor came in on what mailing?
I think it was a dinosaur mailing.
So that was step number 5 or 6, and you went in for the opportunity analysis, and you closed them just like the other ones?
Yep, closed them the same day, and went back the next day to pick up a check, and we started.
So have you always, on all of these, just done it step by step? You go back and you get the check for $2,500, and you keep going?
You know, a lot of times I feel like even selling the USP in the first step, I think it's sometimes tough because they don't have a tangible result at the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no return on investment immediately, so you really got to sit down and explain why the USP is so important and why getting it right is vital to their business and the survival of their business. So you really got to make sure they understand the value of a unique selling proposition and why it's effective and why it's important and vital. And so, you know, you tell them that month 2 and 3 is really where they're going to start seeing a return. You just got to continue to hammer home why the USP is important.
How long do you tell them each step is going to take to integrate?
I tell them everything's a month.
Do you go back before you pick up the check with a action plan showing them exactly what you're going to do, all 4 steps, here's what you're going to get, so they understand exactly what they're getting for their money, or do you come back just with the USP action plan?
For those that have asked for a proposal, or like you said, an action plan, I have. Some wanted it, some didn't. But I think it would probably be helpful so that they can reference that moving forward, but I haven't used it every time.
So the chiropractor, how far into the HMA system are you with him?
We're going into the 3rd month.
Do you feel like your guarantee is helping them stick with persisting to go through all 4 of the steps? Because if they don't, they lose the guarantee?
I think the guarantee is helpful initially with selling, but I also think once you get up and going, they see that you're creating a system for them and a plan and a strategy, mm-hmm. as opposed to just hoping that things work and throwing something against the wall, hoping it sticks. I think they see that finally someone's in the business that knows what marketing is and knows how to do it, and they see the value in that. And if they don't see this, I continue to reiterate that, you know, what you're getting today is something you can leverage moving forward. It's not just something that you're using in month 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is something you can use next year, and then, you know, 5 years down the road as well. So it's all about leveraging what I'm there teaching them and helping them implement.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
All right, it can't be all cookie and roses. So what are the biggest challenges you've had working with any of these 5 clients that we've talked about?
Well, I have one client that really had an issue with the first step, with the unique selling proposition. Basically, they wanted to know why they were spending $2,500 the first month and weren't actually getting anything tangible out of it. And that's basically what I was getting at before, of having to really hammer home the importance of the unique selling proposition and then the integration of that. And in hindsight, I probably wouldn't have taken this client. I mean, there are a lot of other prospects that I've met that I've gotten through direct mail that I've either not closed or chosen not to work with because it seemed like they were going to be more of a headache than it was worth. And it really comes down to mentality, to learn and grow. Great if they don't.
You're in the driver's seat. You have got a lead-generating machine using this series of lumpy mail letters. They're all written, and you can turn up the volume or turn down the volume as much as you want. So it gives you the opportunity to select who you want to work with. Why don't you tell me about a potential client experience that you chose not to work with because you control your own consulting practice?
There's a roofer that I got right out of the gate. Not the roofer I deal with now, a different guy. He runs a really successful business. He's probably doing, I'd say, probably between 10 and 15 million a year. I basically mailed him a couple of his ads in the first Asper letter and then continued to mail him. Picked up the phone, called me, let's set up a consultation. I went in, and he proceeded to tear me a new ass for like the first 15 minutes we were in there about how he knows this and he knows that, and, oh, I do this marketing, I mail 1 million postcards a year, this and that, and he just tore me a new one. And I'm just sitting there like, and I had to stop him, and I was like, are you done? Are we done? Because what the hell did you call me in here for? And I had to kind of thrust him back in his place and tell him, you know, I'm not here to sell you ad space. I'm not here to sell you an advertisement. I'm here to help you because obviously there's something wrong in your business that you picked up the phone to call me. And we talked for a little bit longer, but then we decided to part ways. And there was no way in hell I was going to work with that guy.
That's funny.
a free consultation. I mean, I felt like I was about to get into a fist fight with the guy. It was like head slap. Get out of there.
He probably would have, in hindsight, probably would have been an easy sale. He was just venting.
God, it was a nightmare.
Do you remember listening to the Stan Ballou interview on selling? Stan Ballou?
I'm not sure.
Well, we went through 10 of his best case stories and learning lessons, and it's when he sold something like $120,000 investment over the phone, and he would call these guys, and they had been burned before, and he would just let them vent and vent and vent, and then it would be like a balloon that's just deflated, and then after they vented, he could get into their psyche and sell them, and he would say, these are the guys who are some of the easiest sales, and he would tell all the other brokers, if you've got a guy who's hung up on you, I want him. I'll buy that lead. But it's a great story that reminded me of that.
I mean, I threw out some good stuff, but I mean, here's a little tidbit. I learned this back in the corporate selling days. One objection handling technique we used to always use was feel, felt, found. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was, I understand how you feel. Some of my past clients have felt that way, but they found if we do X, Y, and Z that they've gotten, you know, desired results, whatever that is. I pulled that with him. I mean, I pulled a lot of different stuff, and at the end of it, it was just like, I gotta get the hell out of this room.
All right. Well, look, that's what's great. You know, another consultant who may be starving for clients who doesn't have an effective lead-generating campaign to get potential prospects may just suck it up and work with a client like that. But when you've got a process to pull in leads that you know you can convert and turn into money, you get to choose who you want to work with. And that's the mark of a great consulting practice, where you choose who you allow the privilege to work with you. That's the attitude.
Completely true. And one thing to add, I think if you threw on Richard's cold calling technique on top of these letters, each letter gets followed up with a cold call on top of it to confirm the receipt of the letter and to ask about a consultation, I would imagine your rates are going to go up even higher. So if you do the cold calling technique, this could be a great door opener for you.
A consultant or prospective consultant may be thinking, oh, I got to go find all these ads and cut them out and mail them with the letter. Are you doing all that yourself, or you get some help to do some of that?
I do the selection of the ads myself. And then in terms of folding, stuffing, printing, all that stuff, I typically bribe my family member to help me out with some cash or take them to dinner. But honestly, it's not that much work. And to be honest, it's like farming. You know, it's like planting a tree or planting a seed. You know, you're doing a little bit of upfront work, but then as you send them out over the weeks, your phone calls are coming in or your emails are coming in, and it's just exciting. It's like a little kid on Christmas when someone responds to something you've put out into the market.
When you circle the ad, you circle it in a red marker. Is that all you do, circle it, or do you write anything on the head?
Circling is like the least I would do. And then there are other times where I'll put a question mark next to the headline. It really depends. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the ad, how bad it is, if they're trying to brand it. That's the problem. Most small businesses are trying to market like they're Coca-Cola, and they're trying to do the branded approach because they think that's what's working because they see everyone else doing that in the market, and it's just a race to the bottom. So I like to take the ads, circle them, make some highlights, maybe make a comment on the headline, like I said. Maybe, you know, ask where the social proof is, ask where the risk reversal is, ask where the call to action is, and then you fold it up nice and tight and stick it in the envelope.
Who do you address it to? Are you using the address that is on the ad, and who is it attention to?
I'll go on Samantha, which is a business site that you can look up company information, and I'll dig around and do some cross-searching on Manta and Google and find the owner of the company's first and last name and use that. I won't send it if I can't get an owner's name. I never send anything like owner and the address. I don't do that.
What is that site that you find the owner's name?
It's Manta, M-A-N-T-A.
What is Manta?
Manta is a site you just enter in a company's information, and they'll basically give you all the contact information for the company. They'll tell you who the owner is, how many employees they have. On occasion, they'll tell you revenue, but just give you some information. Good to cross-check.
So we've talked about three clients. We talked about the ponytailed lawyer who was helping out his wife for $7,500. We talked about the new client, the roofer, who's been worth $10,000 or almost $10,000 for you. Any other client work that's resulted from your letter campaign?
The roofer I'm taking on a straight contingency deal.
All right, let's talk contingency. Give me your reasoning for that.
Okay, I trust him. I talked to him quite a bit prior to this, and I see a lot of potential in his business. He was $1 million a month business pre-economic meltdown, and he was doing some heavy volume, and he switched gears after the market collapsed and went from doing volume work to artisan work and doing high-end work. So his average job right now is probably about $100,000. And I saw an opportunity to basically take over his advertising, do his direct mail, do his postcards, help him create consumer awareness guides and reports, CDs, a new website form, a lot of different stuff. It's a lot of work. However, I've worked that deal, so I'm getting 5% gross of whatever he does moving forward from the new roof.
He pays for all the mailing and everything.
Yep, he pays for all the mailing and any technical work or anything like that he pays for. I'm there just doing strategy and helping implement some of these systems.
So 5% of gross ongoing as long as it resulted from your intellectual property and campaign?
Yep, that's correct. We set up a new website. We set up a .com that he has now. We did a .net, and then we set up a new phone number, and that's actually all about to start cranking up and get moving like this week.
Do you control the website and the phone number?
We jointly control it. I have access to everything, and I can see all the Google Analytics. I can see the AWeber account. I can see the phone number. I have access to everything. I could have, like you said, controlled it better. I could have bought the domain myself. I could have bought the phone number myself. I just didn't feel the need to do that. Of all the people I've met, I've never met someone better at positioning themselves in a sales situation. The guy's a master with presenting blueprints and architectural drawings and the way he packages everything. Guy's really, really good. And of all the stuff I'm working on, this is the one I'm most excited about. I honestly believe this could be a 10, a 20, a $30 million company, especially the way he markets. So I'm really excited about that.
Did you get a contract with him, or at least a letter of agreement?
A handshake and a letter of agreement, no firm contract. I mean, I think at some point we'll put it in writing, a bit more final, but for right now I'm happy with the way things are.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Anything else exciting in the works?
So I have two proposals out, one for a very large electrical contractor. He didn't need help with the USP. He didn't need help with really anything other than lead generation and staying in contact. So I basically proposed $5,000 a month ongoing, and that would be for creating some lead magnets for him where I do CDs and reports, and then creating postcards and a lumpy direct mail campaign. And $5,000 ongoing as opposed to one time, because I need to stay on board to monitor the results and see, you know, it's going to be a moving target, because we've split up his ideal market of high-end corporate builders and high-end general contractors. So we've got to test a lot of stuff, but that one I'm really excited about. I'm excited to hear what he says. And then the second one is a CPA I just met with yesterday, and I'm in the process of writing a proposal right now. I'm going to do $4,000, and I'm proposing 4 to 7 months. And he also asked if I could put together a potential contingency deal, and I'm going to offer $2,500 a month and then 15% above baseline, 50% of revenue above their current baseline.
All right, so I hear you now describing per month. Before we were talking about per step. Are you changing things up a little bit?
For these particular guys, yes. So CPA, for example, doesn't need a unique selling proposition. He just needs better integration of that USP. He wants to go more technical. He wants more web help. So I'm going to front load a lot of the web stuff, because a lot of the content and the SEO takes a lot longer to work if you're doing it legally, not using any black hat techniques. I want to front load that, and I'm going a little bit away from the four steps or the core four for that particular guy. And then the electrician is really, that's a copywriting deal where I'm writing copy for him and helping him create a newsletter and lead gen material. So it's a little bit different than those two, but really it came down to going into the opportunity analysis and just looking for opportunity. Those were the opportunities I saw.
So with the material in the HMA University and the steps of the HMA system, if you get in front of somebody who needs marketing help, you have plenty of products to sell them, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You could literally sell dozens of different things. It doesn't have to be just the four. You know, I've done a lot of things where it's just they need the direct response website. And I just do a one-off website for somebody. They had a newsletter in place. They had a USP. They just needed help with a new website that would help them capture leads and remarket to them moving forward. The Core 4 is a great place to start for most businesses, because most businesses need that help. But as you go along, you're going to go into situations where the Core 4 maybe isn't applicable. Now, I want you to get in there and just be like, oh, shit, what am I supposed to do with this guy now? You've got to have your ears open during these consultations, and you've got to just keep asking better questions. And you've got to find out, what is the end result they're really looking for? Is it really just more money? Well, what does that more money mean for them in their life? Is it less stress? Is it more time with their family? Figure out what the real reason why is, and then go after that.
Ed, I want to thank you for providing your letter sequence to all of our existing HMA marketing consultants. Even the consultants who are taking our 21-day trial will have access to the entire series of letters that you have used to generate, just talking about the clients, over $50,000 in consulting fees. So I'm sure the existing consultants are very thankful. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. I would just say to the new consultants, and I made this mistake when I first started out, just take action and fight through the fear, because the fear of taking action, the fear of putting yourself out there helped me back for a little bit when I was getting started with HMA. And I was a little bit nervous out of the gate, but you make mistakes and you move on and you keep pushing forward. But it all starts with taking that first step and pushing through that fear and getting started.
All right. Let's talk about some of the things you're doing with audio. You had this occur? What do you got going? And what kind of results are you seeing? And is this something that HMA consultants can integrate with their existing clients as well?
It's a company I created to help limousine companies market their own businesses. Think of it as HMA, but niche down specifically to one industry. What I did was I created a product, a done-for-them product, where they had templates and sales letters and postcards and ads and everything in there to get them off the ground and running. And to be honest, I had a really tough time selling it. My distribution was off until I took your advice and I started creating audio content, audio interviews. So I created the podcast and I went out and I started introducing myself and interviewing, say, the top, my goal is the top 100 operators in the country. So right now I'm 10 episodes in. I've got a few more recorded and I put one out every week and the feedback's been great. I've got picked up by all three industry trade magazines. Traffic's been pretty decent, but I've never had traffic like this to the site, period. So it's been going pretty well and my cost per lead went from $50 to $100 per lead down to $1 to $6 per lead, which is staggering. So I am a huge proponent for audio content, and I first learned a lot of the techniques and the interviewing techniques from you and your site and your audio training product. So if this particular HMA system isn't for you, then honestly, you have to get the audio training product because I love that as well, but I'm still a big proponent for the HMA system. I'm a big fan of it.
LimoProfits.com. How long are your podcasts? How long do they run?
About 30 to 60 minutes.
We've covered a lot, and you've shared a lot of success, and I appreciate you sharing your story. I appreciate you sharing your letter sequence. If you're an HMA consultant or you're considering the consulting business in fear of cold calling is keeping you from getting started, you now have a proven by Ed way to generate opportunity analysis meetings without cold calling using this sequenced lumpy mail letter campaign, which seems to be very effective. So you've added some real value to the HMA University, and you're an inspiration, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.